Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the plight of New York City taxi drivers in the wake of ride-sharing apps and the fall of the taxi medallion is the subject of the upcoming episode of the new New York Times television series, The Weekly, that airs tonight on Hulu and FX. The series gives an inside look at some of the Times' biggest stories in general. You may have read about the publication's groundbreaking investigation into why the billion-dollar taxi medallion market suddenly crashed in 2014, and how bankers and the city made money pushing drivers into reckless loans. The episode features Times investigative reporter Brian Rosenthal, who led the investigation, and transportation reporter Emma Fitzsimmons, who covered the rash of suicide deaths in the taxi driver community. They are my guests here in the studio right now. Emma, welcome back. Brian, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
Brian, remind us of the big findings from your investigation.
So basically, we found that there was a financial bubble in the taxi medallion market, and that over a period of about 12 years, the price of a medallion went from $200,000 to over $1 million. And the reason for that was some market manipulation by taxi industry leaders, as well as a whole lot of reckless lending to medallion purchasers. And so we found that that bubble happened between 2002 and 2014. And then after it crashed, there are now thousands of medallion driver owners who are suffering the consequences.
And Emma, this is a big reveal to the general public that might have felt bad for the yellow taxi drivers, but just thought, well, it's all because technology changed and that allowed Uber and Lyft and those companies to come in with so many thousands of cars on the road. That was so much competition. Your reporting, and Brian's reporting, says there was a bubble that was fueled by government and fueled by the lending industry anyway.
Yeah, I think Brian's investigation really changed the entire conversation around this. People were blaming Uber. Even the drivers themselves were blaming Uber. And as the investigation showed, this crash would have happened with or without Uber, but that sort of hastened the crisis.
And just to be clear, I mean, we didn't find that Uber and Lyft have had no impact on the taxi industry.
It's 100,000 additional cars on the road.
Right. They have certainly impacted the industry. But what we found that was that the industry was already unstable and unsustainable, and there was going to be a crash in this bubble anyway. And so really just looking at what may have been what pushed the industry into that bubble bursting is really not the way to look at the crisis.
The first driver we meet in the series is Mohammed Hussein. He got an $825,000 loan to buy his medallion. You asked him a question about bankruptcy, and he breaks down and talks about suicide. Here's the clip.
I bought medallion from the city. I think city will help me, you know. I know so many drivers, they kill themselves, but I have a family, my family. So I don't want to kill myself. My life is more important for my family. I love my family than medallion.
Oh, Emma, heartbreaking.
It is, and unfortunately, there's been 9 suicides now in the for-hire industry, and that's over the last year and a half or so. And this clip, you know, I've been immersed in this issue for the last year or so, and it still made me cry when I saw it in the episode for the first time. And so Brian and I have been excited to be a part of this television show because we write stories for the front page of the New York Times, but seeing this man crying really just brings home the story in a whole new way.
And listeners, if you are a yellow cab driver or anyone else who has seen the New York Times groundbreaking reporting on this or just has a question for Brian Rosenthal and Emma Fitzsimmons from the Times, 212-433-WNYC-433-9692. Brian, the income of a typical taxi driver is not hard to estimate. So what motivated so many, and I think we heard the beginning of it in the clip of Mohammed Hussein there, but what motivated so many to acquire these massive loans? Was there anyone in the room that would say no or issue a word of caution?
No, there was no cost in whatsoever in the industry. And I think that what happened was that the value started to go up, starting in the early 2000s. And a lot of it was fueled by market manipulation, by industry leaders. People that owned a lot of medallions were purposely overpaying for more medallions because that would make the ones that they already owned worth more. And we found a lot of that going on. And so the prices started skyrocketing, and they kept skyrocketing. And there was this belief that the prices would keep going up forever. This is kind of classic bubble mentality. And we saw it in the housing crisis as well. When you think an asset is bulletproof and going to go up forever, you are willing to do more risky and more reckless and more exploitative things because of that confidence.
Right. So it's one thing, though, for the lending industry to be predatory, or those big medallion owners who are trying to accumulate so many more medallions at high prices to pump up the value of the ones they already owned, as you were just describing. Government is supposed to play a different role. So was the city just blind, or was it complicit?
Well, the city is in a very odd situation with taxi medallions. I mean, think about it. Can you think of another asset that government regulates but also sells? I can't. I mean, the city made hundreds of millions of dollars off selling medallions. Of course, they collected a tax on private sales, but they also held these auctions. And the auctions of medallions were held in response to budget shortfalls. They were done with the explicit goal of raising money. And they succeeded fantastically in that goal.
Here's another clip from your TV show about that. This is an amazing clip, really, from the documentary of former commissioner of the TLC, Taxi and Limousine Commission, Matthew Daw, who says the problem was completely out of his control.
There was nothing to do. Everybody was making money and doing well. There was no issue.
Okay,
I have zero regrets. If Uber did not enter this market, these people would still have a much more valuable asset. It is the only reason why we're sitting here talking about this crisis. Uber is the cause of the problem, and the government failed to regulate them appropriately. That is the beginning and the end of it, and there's nothing more about it.
Emma, he does not accept your reporting.
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, there was a cap set on Ubers a year ago, last summer, and Mayor de Blasio wants to extend that cap. And both Mayor Bill de Blasio and Speaker Johnson say we should have regulated Uber more in 2015. So I think it can both be true that there was this bubble that was rising, and also at the same time, the city now looks back and says, wow, we really do have too many FHVs here. And the growth has a lot of other repercussions, including, you know, clogged streets that we're all very aware of.
FHV, taxi speak for for-hire vehicles,
yeah.
Meaning Uber and Lyft, et cetera. And here's the mayor on this show just a couple of weeks ago, May 24th, when I raised your reporting with him, and he disagreed with what he sees as your suggestion that he furthered the problem like his predecessors.
The first budget that we passed when I came into office was in the first 6 months of my term. And we at that point saw a market that seemed to support additional medallion sales. Once we did that in the first months of the administration, we quickly came to the conclusion thereafter that it did not make sense to sell any more medallions. And we reversed the policy of the Bloomberg and the Giuliani administration. And we have not sold any medallions since. So it's just not right to suggest there was a continuity. After the first 6 months in office, we decided to do something very different.
Brian, continuity from Giuliani to Bloomberg to de Blasio, or not so much?
Well, there was certainly continuity at first. I mean, Bill de Blasio came into office at a time when the city had a budget gap and the industry knew that prices were inflated. Government officials at all levels of government, local, city, state, and federal government had all raised concerns about medallion prices and about lending practices. Uber had already been in New York City for 3 years. And there was a wide understanding that this could be a bubble that was about to burst. And nevertheless, his administration held an auction, and two auctions actually, and sold hundreds of medallions. And one of the things that we found was that at that first auction for individual driver owners, 150 medallions were sold, and 40% of the people who bought that day have filed for bankruptcy. And those are people who, you know, have lost their life savings and will never get them back. It's certainly true that after the beginning of 2014 into late 2014 and thereafter, the city stopped selling medallions. But that was, frankly, after the bubble had burst. That was really a response to the bubble bursting more than the unstable conditions in the market.
Elle in Nassau County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elle.
Hi there. Thank you for taking the call. I understand a medallion like it's metal, but what does a medallion give the owner of medallions the advantage over if there's such a thing as a regular taxi cab driver? What drives the price up so high that a person would spend millions of dollars? I know you have taxi stands mm-hmm. where the taxis line up, but what makes that, why would a person right. spend such a great deal of money in order to drive around in New York?
Thank you very much. And the simple answer is because they thought the economy would support a profit even on those big mortgages, in effect, on those loans. But Emma, she focuses on the word medallion. It's such a funny word because, like she says, it's like you think of it as metal.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really just the license to drive a taxi in New York City, which the city used to ration before Uber, et cetera.
Yes, and this is what really upsets taxi drivers. They say, we bought the exclusive right to street hails, right? We're the only people, someone could put up their hand and hail a taxi. And when Uber and Lyft came in, they said there should have been more regulations for them. But technically, you have to book that trip through an app. So there is a difference. But that's what started this whole investigation with Brian, was why would something that can only make a certain amount of money each year be worth $1 million?
Yeah, if I could just add, I think it's a great question, Elle. I think it's important to think about it a little bit differently, though. I mean, the question of why would anybody spend $1 million to buy a medallion is actually a little off, because nobody really did spend $1 million to buy a medallion, and the prices were inflated. The people that were buying were not really putting down a down payment. They were never paying off the loan. We didn't find a single person who bought in this period who paid off their loan. They poured their life savings into it. They made their monthly payments every month, and it was a great revenue stream for the lenders while it was happening, while the bubble was going on. But it wasn't a situation where anybody was really buying an asset in the traditional sense that you'd think of.
Eric in North Bergen, you're on WNYC with Brian Rosenthal and Emma Fitzsimmons from The Times. Hi, Eric.
Hi there. I'm not tremendously passionate about this issue, but I was curious if the two reporters had any intersect with the story about Michael Cohen's medallion company that came up in the news. I think it floundered, and maybe he got into some financial trouble through that company. And I was wondering if it was the same effect. Did he collect them? Was he one of the, I guess, scalpers, you might call them, that were buying them up, hoarding them, so to speak, and then it splintered?
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because I actually got started onto this project because I was investigating Michael Cohen and just found out about what else was going on in the industry. Michael Cohen owned 30 taxi medallions, and he owned them as an investment. About half of medallions do not have to be owned by the actual driver driving the cab. They can be owned by a big fleet, or they can be owned by an investor looking to make a profit. And that's what Michael Cohen did, and that was his involvement.
And then some of the crimes he was charged with had to do with financial things, trying to bail himself out of losses on taxi medallions, right?
Right. Well, it was bailing himself out of losses on taxi medallions, but also when he was invested in the medallions and they were going up in price, he leveraged them to try and get loans. Uh-huh. And there was some issue about how truthful he was on those loan applications.
So last thing in our last minute, Emma, maybe the most salient question now after all this is, what does the city, what does society owe these taxi drivers, some of whom are still contemplating suicide, or even if they're not, what public policy do we owe them to make good for this bubble bursting, which the city and the banking industry helped to cause?
It's a good question. The state and the city are doing several investigations, and there's been talk in the city council of potentially a bailout or a hardship fund for the medallion owners. But Muhammad, who's featured in the episode, still owes more than $700,000, and there's no way he can pay that off. And so there's a lot of solutions being discussed right now that weren't being discussed before, but it would be very expensive for the city to bail out all of these medallion loans.
My guests have been New York Times investigative reporter Brian Rosenthal and Emma Fitzsimmons, who covers transportation for the Metro Desk. How do you like doing television, you newspaper people?
Weird, but exciting.
And the show is called The Weekly. It's on Hulu and FX. And let me get this straight. The first airing was last night?
Yes.
Last night. Mm-hmm. So that's out there.
But it's available. They're going to show it on FX throughout this week, and you can watch it on Hulu anytime.
Thanks, both of you, for coming in.
Thanks.